Okay, the next argued case is number 18-1190, FreeAlliance.com, LLC, against the United States. Mr. Schoonover.
Just ask a question before you start the clock, maybe. There are briefs are all marked for confidentiality purposes, and the names, basically, of everybody who played in this solicitation, other than Free Alliance, and maybe I think maybe even its own subs are blocked out. Are we stuck by that? How can we talk for your case, for example, without talking about the folks from Oklahoma?
Certainly, Your Honor.
I mean, is that how I have to describe that particular bidder?
Well, Your Honor, I had envisioned trying to refer to the appendix page number where those particular companies are referenced.
That's going to be confusing for us.
I think
we're all right. There was no request to close the courtroom, and let's proceed with the substance of the appeal.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Matthew Schoonover, and on behalf of FreeAlliance.com, may it please the court. The court should determine that the agency's evaluation of Free Alliance's proposal was improper for either of two reasons. First, contrary to the evaluation results, Free Alliance's CTA teammates provided accounting verification forms that met the solicitation's requirements. Second, and more fundamentally, the agency disparately evaluated Free Alliance's proposal in violation of the FAR's requirement for fair treatment of offerors. This disparate evaluation manifested itself in two ways. The agency allowed at least two offerors with perceived flaws in their accounting verification forms to proceed to phase two. And the agency allowed some offerors, but not Free Alliance, the opportunity to fix flaws in their proposals also before proceeding to phase two. In our briefing,
when you say allowed the two to go to phase two, it would have let them go to phase two on the accounting issue, but not on others. It didn't go to phase two.
That is correct.
One was taken back for re-examination. We don't quite know whatever happened yet, right?
That is correct, Your Honor. There was at least one offeror that received go ratings under phase two, or excuse me, under the second criterion that the agency below had indicated there was a new GAO protest that was filed, and we don't know the results
right.
of that.
So that one really probably comes off the table. You have an argument about it, right?
Well, Your Honor,
it's the friends from Oklahoma that made the main problem, right?
certainly. But I don't believe that it comes off the table. I think the record that we have.
I know, but isn't your you would prevail on your friends from Oklahoma?
Yes.
If we agree that Judge Brunke was wrong in the way in which he dealt with that problem.
That's correct. I believe that is correct. The record that we have shows that particular offeror
That particular offeror was going to be passed. I mean, so the government knows where all this is coming from. That particular offeror is described on page 39 of the red brief. That's why I refer to the Oklahoma reference. You'll notice because of the name of the nation. And the argument the government here is saying that the agency was incorrect to have given them a pass on the accounting issue.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, Your Honor.
So that's an admission that you didn't have in hand down below, correct?
That is correct. And another
do you admission? Believe that admission undermines Judge Brunke's ruling that there was no harm here?
That's correct, Your Honor. And another admission that we did not have below was shown most recently in the government's most recent filing before this court in September. This summer, the agency, as I understand, has completed its evaluation of these offerors.
They sent us a notice saying who'd won.
Yes, that is correct. And six of those offerors, Your Honor, six were originally deemed go with clarification under the first phase one go, no-go criterion. And that, in our mind, supports our argument that those six offerors at least...
Well, that we don't know that. We'd have to get into the facts behind them. We don't know that.
That's correct. But
so the only reason why that subject is of record is because the government gave us a notice saying who won.
That's correct. But that's why it's in the record. There was nothing...
Isn't your strongest case based on the concession made on page 39, 39-40 of the red brief, 38-39?
Well, certainly the strongest case in the record, yes.
The record is what we have in front of us.
Yes.
So your argument is that because the government now admits that one party who was sent through on the accounting should not have been, then basically if that party was sent through to phase two, you're saying, well, then you can't stop me from going to phase two just because I also flunked accounting.
More or less, that's correct. That if the agency allowed some offerors the opportunity to slip through, then it didn't allow us, that was an unequal evaluation.
Okay, so assuming that Judge Brunkley was wrong when he said, well, there was no harm here, the question for you is, where's your prejudice? Even if you could show that you should have gone to phase two, you can't prevail unless you can satisfy the prejudice test.
Yes, Your Honor.
And the prejudice test, as I understand it, is that you have to show a substantial chance of winning the contract.
And certainly, I believe that
that's the test.
That's correct.
Not the weeks test.
That's correct. It is not a but-for test. We do not have to show but-for the errors, the agency, that we would have won a contract. The only thing that we have to show is that we would have had a substantial chance at receiving the award. And here, certainly, we believe that if we were allowed the opportunity to proceed to phase two...
But you knew all this. You didn't make any record on a substantial chance of prevailing on prejudice below.
Well, Your Honor, we were in the evaluation, we were denied that.
No, I'm talking about in front of the Court of Federal Claims. So yeah, Judge Brunkley didn't reach the question of prejudice because he said there was no disparate treatment.
That's what Judge Brunkley said.
So if we take the government's concession here in its briefing to show that there was prejudice, then we need to decide the next question would be, pardon me, that there was disparate treatment. The next question is, was there was prejudice?
And we certainly believe there was, Your Honor.
You believe you do, but there's nothing in the record.
Well, and respectfully, I disagree with that, Your Honor.
Getting to phase two doesn't tell you anything about your chances of winning the contract.
Your Honor, we had to proceed to phase two. Phase two was the best value evaluation here. So we were prevented that opportunity.
I understand that. But in order to show prejudice, you would have to show that there was a substantial chance that you would have won at phase two.
Well, we only had to show that we had a substantial chance at receiving the award. And
that's getting the contract.
Well, I agree, but...
And there are lots and lots of other bidders, and they were making holistic choices as between who, once they got to phase two, right?
Yes, the phase two evaluation was the best value evaluation, and that's where offeror's substantive proposals would be evaluated to determine...
And how do I know that you had any chance on best value? I don't know anything about your pricing.
Well, Your Honor, there's nothing in the record below. The agency did not evaluate our proposal under phase two. And so what we are saying is that if we had the opportunity to proceed to the phase two evaluation, keep in mind, that's all we're asking for here, is the opportunity to compete under phase two. We're not asking for a contract award. We're just saying...
Given the nature of what the government is now saying as to why you were treated differently from our friends from Oklahoma at phase one, that if you get to phase two, you can't win in your protest unless you can show a substantial chance of prevailing on the contract, the Bantam test, not the Weeks test. And there hadn't been any assessment of that. And I wonder why perhaps a vacate and remand wouldn't be the order of what you'd be asking for.
I'm sorry?
A vacate and remand. I mean, you can't win unless you can show prejudice. You haven't yet had an opportunity to make that showing. Right?
That's correct. So I certainly believe that if this court were to vacate the ruling and send it back, the agency could be compelled to actually reevaluate our proposal under phase two. Again, that's all we're asking for here. The agency did not evaluate our proposal or Free Alliance's proposal under the phase two
evaluation. But the agency said you didn't provide adequate documentation that your accounting would be satisfactory as shown by proper statement on the letterhead of a CPA.
The agency has said that, Your Honor, that the
has said that. That's the basic holding against which you're appealing, right?
That's correct. And we believe, of course, it goes without, probably won't be a surprise to the court, that we believe that the agency's decision was improper. If you look at the accounting verification forms that were provided by Free Alliance at appendix pages 41 and 42, they provide the substantive information that the agency needed to evaluate our CTA members or the adequacy of our CTA members' accounting systems.
But they were all hedged. Has been conducted, but there isn't a certification on the letterhead. Has not been performed. However, third-party review was conducted, found to be adequate. This is not what they required.
Respectfully, I disagree, Your Honor. And at the very top of the form, it says that this, and I'm paraphrasing here, it says that this accounting verification form is submitted under CIO SP3 because that solicitation requires, and I'm sorry, I'm in my rebuttal time here.
Well,
if I can finish.
There's no doubt that you didn't comply with the letter of what's in the regulation. Isn't that right? Isn't your point that since others were permitted to remedy this flaw, that you were prejudiced because of disparate treatment?
Yes.
Not that you complied.
Yes, that is, well, that is certainly part of it. We believe that we did comply, and that even
you
if not...
You can comply.
Even
it's, if, it's not disputed that it's not on the letterhead.
Well, and certainly about that, Your Honor, but there were other offerors who also submitted accounting verification
forms. Well, that's the disparate treatment aspect.
Yes, and that's what I was going to suggest, Your Honor, is that we believe that we provided the substance that was required by the solicitation. And the argument about letterhead, the forms provided the CPA's name, CPA firm, and the contact information. That's basically the information that is required for letterhead, the only thing missing that might be a logo. But even if the letterhead argument was determinative, or found against us, Judge Newman, you are correct that there were other offerors that were allowed to submit verification forms that were not on letterhead that were nonetheless allowed to proceed to phase two
well,
or were determined.
The government says they were all eliminated on other grounds. You say that they were not. They proceeded, some of them, to phase two. Is that right?
The record suggests that they that at least one of them proceeded to phase two at appendix page 66, item 23. Appendix page 66.
66?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. My notes are... if the court were to look at appendix page 61, this is a company
don't
that was...
Don't go so fast. Appendix page 61.
I apologize, Your Honor.
The pen has got all these fold-outs. It's hard to figure out what page you're talking about. 61, yes.
61. This was a company that is not on letterhead, and that was ultimately, that company was awarded, ultimately, one of the contracts. We also have...
Well, they remedied. Isn't that correct? That company did remedy the flaw by providing the letterhead CPA certification?
I don't believe that's correct. With that particular offeror, Your Honor, I don't believe that company resubmitted a new letterhead. No, I don't believe that's the case. We do have another instance.
We need to know that. I mean, it has to be yes or no. It can't be I don't believe. I mean, you're making...
Well, we do
have... If they remedied it, there's no disparate treatment.
We do have another instance.
I mean, you're dancing all around for your targets. Do you need a target besides your friend from Oklahoma?
Well, I think we have targets in there, and we've certainly talked about them in our briefing, there are several...
The government dealt with all those in its briefing and said, well, there are other reasons. The problem was that nobody was, maybe except for a couple of the potential bidders, were following the total letter of the requirement, a letterhead signed by a partner. And so basically what was happening was whoever was receiving this was trying to assess what did you give us enough information for us to know where we could go.
That's correct.
And one of the requirements was you had to have your accounting system tested, for example.
Right. More or less,
and
yes.
one of your offerers admitted he never tested his system. So I mean,
I disagree with that characterization.
But the point is that for you to be able to show that there was disparate treatment, you need to show that there was somebody who either made it to phase two, who flunked accounting. This is assuming you flunked accounting, made it to phase two, or would have made it to phase two for flunking the accounting, but for another fault.
And Your Honor, I don't necessarily. We're looking at the phase one evaluation,
yes,
as a whole, and there were two, for purposes of this matter, there were two different criteria under phase one. The first, compliant proposal, and we have seen a litany of offerors who did not meet those requirements. And then you are correct that the other criterion is an accounting system. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, there just weren't that many offerors who received either passing marks under criterion one and no marks or failing marks under criterion two. In fact, Free Alliance was the only offeror that received a go rating under criterion one and a no-go rating under criterion two. There were three other offerors, I should note, right, that received a go with clarification and a no-go under criterion two. I would also point that, I realize my red light is up.
Proceed.
I was also going to point out to the court, when we look at the verification of the accounting forms, to Your Honor's point, this certainly does seem to have been all over the map with regards to the forms that some offerors provided. And if the court were to look at appendix page 57, this is for an accounting verification form that says basically this offeror or this company's accounting form is adequate to prepare their taxes at the end of the year. And that is not at all what the solicitation required.
But they were
what
eliminated.
Where do they show up on this list on 66?
Your Honor, that is item number 22, and they were go with clarification and go for the acceptable accounting system. That accounting form was found to be adequate, at least as part of appendix page 66. Now, the government below has said, well, there was another bid protest about this case, so we can't really talk about it. But the record we have before us suggests certainly that this offeror's or this contractor's accounting verification
form... Is that the one that went back?
Yes, that was...
Okay,
that was,
so that's the one where the government recognized there was a potential problem, so they pulled them out of this chain and put them someplace else.
Well, we don't know why the government pulled them
out. Well, I understand that, but it's a... That, I mean, to me, your friend from Oklahoma, from the government's brief at page 39, gives you the hook that you hadn't had before,
mm-hmm,
which is the government's admission that someone was competing with you at phase one, also flunked accounting, but they would have been allowed to go forward, but for the fact that they flunked some other test.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That is correct.
And Judge Brunke's rationale was, well, that made a difference because they didn't make it to phase two. You weren't treated differently because you didn't make it to phase two.
Yes, Your Honor. That was Judge Brunke's analysis. And again, we disagree with that.
Maybe you ought to talk a little bit because that's the rationale the government's going
yes,
to stand on when I point out. And they're going to say, yes, we admit that the friends from Oklahoma were just like you on the accounting issue. Right?
Yes.
But that's no harm to you because they didn't make it forward.
Well, I disagree with that, Your Honor. I apologize. My red light is on, so I can either address it now or...
Please answer the question.
So I certainly agree that had we had that same opportunity, or if our proposal had been evaluated equally as was our friends from Oklahoma, as you call them, then we would have proceeded on to phase two. And that is the nature of the prejudice argument here, is that we a stricter standard was applied against us that kept us ultimately from proceeding to phase two. And I think that with respect to Judge Berginck, the analysis below was too narrow in that it focused on each individual criterion to
determine.
Well,
he recognized the possibility of disparate treatment. There's no question about
yes.
that.
Yes.
And he said, well, this is pretty troubling, but I think I have an answer here as to why I don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
Because none of you and the other people made it up to phase two.
Well, and again, we disagree. I certainly think that if Free Alliance were allowed the same opportunity to fix its whatever perceived deficiencies were in its proposal, that some of these other offerors were.
Let me ask you what happened. Let's assume for purposes of argument the court agreed with you that there was disparate treatment and that we then need to decide whether you were prejudiced by it, because if you weren't, you can't go forward. And we decided, or we sent it back to have that, if you can show prejudice, substantial likelihood of winning the contract. What happens if this contract has been let?
Yes, the CIO SP3 contracts have been awarded.
8 or 9 or 10 or 15 bidders have been awarded contracts.
I believe the total is 16.
Is the theory that you could just be added on? Would someone have to be taken off? Do they have to rebid the entire contract?
No, Your Honor.
Redecide the entire contract?
I do not believe that they would have to do so. They could simply add us on if there was prejudice. We are not asking that anybody's award be taken away. And the nature of the CIO SP3 award is, again, this is a GWAC. This is one of these government-wide acquisition vehicles under which different people come in and make orders against. So we would certainly compete.
That works if the public can come to any one of you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it basically, they compete the awards among the GWAC holders. They compete for orders. The GWAC holders compete for orders that are issued by different government agencies. And so certainly then at that point, we could compete for those orders if the court were to find prejudice. We were evaluated under best value under phase two and ultimately named an awardee. We're not asking for anybody's award to be taken away. We are asking to be added to the pool of GWAC holders in this case, or at least for that opportunity to be considered as part.
Let's hear from the governor. We'll save you rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Sanchez.
Good morning. May it please the court.
Can we start with page 39 of your brief?
Our friends in Oklahoma.
Friends from Oklahoma.
Okay, so.
So that is, the friends from Oklahoma was a person that, like Free Alliance, was competing to try to win this, to be included in this contract, right?
Correct.
And they needed at phase one to satisfy the accounting test as well as the other test, right?
Correct.
And as I read what you're saying on page 39 is they should not have been deemed to have passed the accounting test.
That is my understanding of the record.
Okay. So we start up and we say the bidder from Oklahoma is just like Free Alliance in that they both failed the accounting test.
Yes.
They both failed the accounting test. The friend from Oklahoma also failed the second test.
Yes.
So they were not allowed to go to phase two.
Yes, correct.
If they had passed the second test, they would have gone to phase two.
Not necessarily, Your Honor, and that's
well, there's nothing in the record that shows they would not have gone to phase two.
Well, and that's what I would like to explain.
Let me go back. If it's true that the Oklahoma bidder who flunked the accounting test could have gone up to phase two, even with a flunked accounting test, then Free Alliance, who was barred from going to phase two from a flunked accounting test, would have been treated differently.
If that had been the factual scenario, then I would agree with the court, yes.
And however, if that's the case, then we would have injury shown, but we would not know the answer to the prejudice question.
That is correct.
And the prejudice question was never ventilated below because Judge Brunking found that there was no injury.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So would the correct result be if we were to decide that there was disparate treatment here with regard to the accounting issue going to phase two, would the correct result be to vacate and send it back and to have a prejudice examination at the court below?
I don't... Under that hypothetical, yes. But that is not the factual situation that we have here. The charts that Mr. Schoonover directed the court to, the charts at pages 62 through 67 of the appendix, those are pre-decisional notes.
Wait, 62 to 67?
Yes, Your Honor. Those are charts.
It's hard to read the pagination in the thing here, 62 to 67.
They are hard to read,
okay.
Your Honor.
I see, 66, 67. What about them?
Those are excerpts of pre-decisional charts in which the evaluators were keeping track of what they found in their initial review of the documents. We really do not know here what would have happened if Mindleaf, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Oklahoma.
If Oklahoma had been found compliant with the second factor, because they didn't get a chance, the evaluators didn't get a chance.
Well, if Oklahoma had been found compliant on both accounting and the second factor, they would have gone to phase two.
That is correct.
On the record that we have.
Yes, but if we look at page 87 of the appendix, that is the write-up on Oklahoma and mm-hmm. why. And Oklahoma was a CTA partner for the offeror that is listed.
And what about 87?
On page 87, that is the write-up that applies to Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a CTA partner that submitted a proposal.
What's the gravamen of why you hadn't cited this in your brief? Why are we talking about 87?
No, I cited it in the brief. It's on page 39, Your Honor. On page 8, at the bottom of page 39. And we explain there that, and we've been very frank with the court on this. I mean, this record isn't perfect. There were pre-decisional findings that were not reviewed later on when it came time for the contracting officers to write up the basis for evaluation for competition. So you had to have, you had to pass both. However, in a lot of these write-ups...
I understand that you can't go to phase two unless you pass both tests.
Yes, but
right.
My...
And Oklahoma was deemed to have flunked compliant proposal, step one.
Yes.
But they were agreed to have found to pass accounting.
Not in the final consensus. The final consensus, Your Honor, is on page 87. Page 87 of the appendix. That's the final consensus.
What's it say about accounting in 87?
It doesn't say anything about accounting because in a lot of these summaries,
So we have to deal with the record in front of us. So far as we know, they were fairly compliant on accounting. But you admit in your brief that they were not compliant.
No, but the record in front of us, my point is that the way that the contracting officers tackled...
Makes up his mind, right?
They didn't necessarily go back and review initial findings if they reached final findings on the second factor. In a lot of these summaries...
Right, but whether or not the decision that they passed accounting preliminarily at some stage, the record that we have shows that they were found acceptable on accounting.
That
the government, in a gesture of candor that I rarely see from the government, has come in and said, well, Judge Brugink made a mistake.
No, we're not saying that Judge Brugink made a mistake. I mean, Judge Brugink, in his opinion, got it right.
Judge Brugink said there was no disparate treatment.
That is correct,
okay,
Your Honor.
So there's no disparate treatment. So how can there be no disparate treatment when Free Alliance is treated differently from Oklahoma?
I got the impression during the oral argument that Judge Brugink understood the challenges with the administrative record and the way the write-ups were made.
And so he knew that there was a problem, and he said, I don't have to worry about it because Oklahoma flunked and never made it to phase two.
Correct. That's what the opinion says.
That's his rationale. And my judgment is that that's an inadequate rationale because he didn't treat the, he divided phase one in two parts. If Free Alliance, if someone who failed the accounting test at, would have been passed forward, right? This Free Alliance would not, was not passed forward because it flunked. So it's arguing that it was mistreated.
Free Alliance's deficiencies were so significant in both CTA partners' submissions that they were so facially non-compliant.
So they may have been more, but why, but isn't Oklahoma also non-compliant in your view? You say it is.
We conceded that they're non-compliant, Your Honor. And in a perfect world, the contracting officer would have carried over the preliminary findings and polished up the final findings and included every single reason for exclusion. It just wasn't done in this record. It's not the way that the contracting officers decided to approach it. But I can represent to the court, based on my knowledge of this record, and also based on the fact that plaintiff hasn't been able to point to any offeror that didn't have a compliant accounting verification that moved to phase two. None of them moved to phase two with the non-compliant accounting verifications. None of them. So when Free Alliance claims that there were some that had deficient accounting verifications that moved, went on to the second phase, that is inaccurate. The ones that didn't have any letterhead and that were submitted by CPAs, they were eliminated. And the ones that Free Alliance cites in its briefs, those were government forms that were submitted that couldn't have been a letterhead, even though they were signed by a CPA. And those accounting verifications were deemed acceptable, as they should have been, because the government allowed for certain forms to be executed by CPAs. So I can't point
well,
the court.
Yeah, it is. You have to admit it is rare when you have a situation where the government very candidly says, well, the, at least the preliminary judgment by the contracting officer with regard to Oklahoma's accounting skills was wrong.
Your Honor, I can't
and
speak.
They, as being wrong, yeah. They're in the same kit and caboodle as Free Alliance.
I can't speak for everybody that stands at this podium, but I have been with my office since 1999, and I've always conceded where we need to concede. It's not something that...
Well, I mean, I'm proud of the government that they do, but it, you have to appreciate it creates a little problem for your appeal.
The law doesn't require a procurement to be perfect. And there are instances where we have errors that are so minor, and the contracting officer in this case, specifically in the solicitation, retained the ability to waive minor errors and irregularities.
Where do we know that? I mean, that's not in Judge Brugney's opinion.
No, it's cited in our brief. It's in the RFP.
Where's that argument taking you? The argument's taking you that there are certain disparate treatments that are okay?
No, not disparate treatment, just minor irregularities no offeror in this procurement was allowed to submit any additional documents after the deadline to submit proposals. No offeror submitted a revised proposal or additional forms. In fact, the agency denied those requests, specifically denied those requests. And
so they got a mishmash when people filed their proposals. They got a lot of people dealt with the accounting requirement differently.
Well, there were different forms that were submitted. They weren't required to submit the same exact form.
Right.
Some submitted federal forms, some submitted forms signed by a CPA. So no two submissions were identical. However, I can point to the court to page 21 of the appendix, that is the opinion below. There was one offeror that submitted the same exact form that Free Alliance submitted. Apparently that form had been circulating as a result of previous procurements, and it contained more substance than Free Alliance's forms contained, and they were rejected. So the disparate treatment argument doesn't work in this case, because an identical form submitted by another offeror was rejected on the same basis.
Well, there aren't any. It's very hard to have identity because nobody is, not all people are submitting the same information.
Well, but the form. I mean, the problem with the form wasn't just the substance of the information. It wasn't on letterhead. And it was, and it didn't contain any substance for both the CTA partners. There was nothing that the government could have done with those forms other than reject the proposal. And there was no mechanism in place for the resubmission of proposals or the resubmission of forms. I mean, basically, Free Alliance is coming to this court and asking for a second bite at the apple, and there is no way to cure the deficiencies.
They're asking not to be treated differently from the Oklahoma bidder.
But again, Your Honor, I point to the court to the fact that the initial findings
on
that.
Well, I'll read page 87 to see what it says, but I mean, all you did in your brief was cite page 87. You didn't make an argument as to why there's something in 87 that tells me that there wasn't disparate treatment here.
No, we didn't address disparate. I mean, we didn't address.
I mean, your brief raises this red flag that is bigger than this whole courtroom on the disparate issue, because you say that the folks from Oklahoma flunked the accounting test.
There were many that flunked the accounting test
but
didn't pass, and yet it's not. I mean, that there are many that were.
Many flunked the accounting test, flunked something else too, so they didn't go forward.
Yes, Your Honor, and there are also other offerors that were given a go in the pre-decisional documents that didn't pass another, you know, phase factor number two, and yet when we look at the final findings, they are not, you know, that there's
you mean
no.
The people who won the contract? What
no.
are the final findings?
The final findings are the write-ups that begin at page, the substantive write-ups begin at page 68 of the evaluation of the appendix.
58?
They begin at page 68.
68.
So.
No, 68 is not.
No. These are the write-ups that were. These are excerpts from the. We couldn't put like all 75 write-ups.
What is 68? That's a write-up about a particular bidder, right?
Those are the write-ups that were in the final consensus evaluation by the agency.
At phase one,
and the pre-decisional notes are in the charts. What I'm trying to explain to the court is that the pre-decisional notes didn't necessarily make it to a final stage if they were found non-compliant on factor two, the pre-decisional notes from factor one. So there was going to be a second review before it made it to the pre-decision, the final evaluation summary.
I have to read this. You got me very confused because your briefing doesn't discuss this at all.
It's a very messy record, Your Honor.
No, it's not that messy. The record is not messy once the government says that Oklahoma and Free Alliance were treated differently.
There is no prejudice as a result.
No. The prejudice is an entirely different issue. Prejudice is a separate issue that you address once there has been harm.
Correct.
Harm is from being treated differently.
But before you can show that you have been treated differently, you have to at least make a finding or demonstrate that you had a responsive proposal to begin with.
But where is that?
Free Alliance claims that it was treated disparately than our friends from
Free Alliance is saying, I would have gone to phase two, but for the fact that I flunked accounting.
We don't know that they would have gone to phase two.
Well, there's no record that shows they wouldn't.
Correct.
Right.
But there's no record that shows they would.
I understand that. It's all hypothetical in that respect.
Yes.
As the law requires us to greet Free Alliance's argument in the context that is presented to us.
I understand.
And you appreciate that.
I appreciate the concern.
And Free Alliance is saying we're supposed to be, under the rules, we're supposed to be treated the same as Oklahoma. Now, we were told that we flunked accounting and therefore we couldn't go forward. Oklahoma was told you flunked accounting, but you couldn't go forward unless you have some other problem. And you have some other problems, so you can't go forward.
There are no final evaluation findings on Oklahoma in the record.
Well, we know from Oklahoma that although the record we have showed that they passed accounting, right?
We made that concession after a careful review of the record.
And I applaud you for it. Yeah. But to me, it was raising a major red flag. You've heard the argument.
I appreciate the dilemma, Your Honor, but we do. But our position is that given the fact that none of the non-compliant offers when it came to accounting verifications move forward, that at the end of the day, there was no disparate treatment. They were treated the same in the sense that none of them were allowed to go forward. And none were awarded contracts.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Sanchez. Mr. Schoonover.
Thank you, Your Honor. My friend is right that in one sense that the law does not require a procurement to be perfect. But the law does require a procurement to be fair. And I think as this court is articulating, this procurement certainly was anything but as it relates to Free Alliance. When we look at page 87 of the appendix as cited by the government, there is no information in that page that articulates the government had any concerns whatsoever with the accounting verification forms submitted by our friends from Oklahoma. And though the government says these were pre-decisional documents, Judge Clevenger, I believe you're correct that this is the record that we have before us. And that record shows that this evaluation was certainly
but
unfair.
They had a different non-compliance issue. So your position is, even though there were hundreds of bidders, that the government has an obligation to state every ground of non-compliance and offer an opportunity for remedy?
Well, Your Honor, with regards to the first point, so that I kind of believe that was a two-phase question. With regards to the first point about does the government have to state every grounds for non-compliance, if we look in the record...
That was really, I think, what the Court of Federal Claims was focusing on.
Well, and if the court were to look at the record at pages, appendix page 66 and 67, the government has said below and articulated again here that just because an offeror was found to be no-go under one criterion does not necessarily mean that the record would reflect that it was found to be no-go under the other. But if we look at pages appendix 66 and 67, we see that there are six offerors that are no-go under both criteria. So that certainly tells us that contrary to perhaps what the court found below, that the government's notes in this case were cumulative. That is, if the government noted non-compliance under criterion one, it noted that in its evaluation notes. Similarly, if it also noted that there were non-compliance under criterion two, it noted that as another reason to find offerors to be no-go. So the argument that perhaps this doesn't matter that it wasn't really equal because, you know, the government had found them to be non-compliant under a different criterion, I don't think is actually borne out by how the record suggests that the evaluation actually took place. And the government noted also that none of the offerors with deficient accounting verification forms survived to the phase two evaluation. And with respect, I believe that that's incorrect. We have pointed out in our briefing where some of these other deficiencies took place, but if the court were to look at page appendix 61, again, this is an accounting verification form that was submitted by a company that is not on letterhead. And yet this company was ultimately named an awardee as the government's most recent filing shows. So they obviously proceeded to phase two, even though they had a non-compliant version of their accounting verification form. Similarly, with appendix page 55.
What's wrong with 61? 61 is on the letterhead.
I don't believe that's letterhead, Your Honor. And that letterhead, if it is letterhead, provides no more information than what our accounting or what Free Alliance's accounting verification forms also provide.
Certified public account?
Certainly. And so was Free Alliance's forms. Those forms indicated on page Free Alliance's forms at appendix pages 41 and 42 indicated the CPA in section 3 who had actually audited their records and attested to their accuracy. Similarly, appendix page 58, this is an accounting verification form for another awardee. And though this accounting verification form is on letterhead, the substance of this accounting verification
form doesn't have a letterhead.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But the substance of this accounting verification form is deficient in that this CPA, by the way, it's not actually signed by a CPA. It's instead signed by the CPA firm where the solicitation required it to be signed by an actual CPA. But this independent accountant's report just says, if the court were to read it, that the CPA has reviewed this company's management's assertion that they have an accounting verification, an adequate accounting system, and I apologize if I may finish this thought, and does not have any reason to dispute that management's assertion of the adequacy of their accounting verification form.
Okay. We have the arguments. Thank you both.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case is taken under submission.